You know, sometimes it's easy to worship God. I think of the Feast of Tabernacles and what a joyous occasion that is. And it's pretty, you know, if you could live in that environment all the time at the feast, it'd be pretty nice because it's pretty easy to worship God in that kind of an environment. In fact, the scripture says, "And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days." And so when God tells us, "Look, I want you to have a rip-roaring good time. I want you to enjoy it," then hey, let's go for it. And I think in another scripture, I'm reading this from the it's a different version of the Bible. It says, "When you and your family arrive," that's at the feast, "spend the money on food for a big celebration." Well, that sounds nice. The money that you've saved up all during the year. It said, "Spend it on a big celebration. Buy cattle, sheep, goat, wine, beer, and if there are any other kinds of food that you want, buy those also." So, you know, and I guess what's troubling is leaving the feast because you sort of go back into the world and you're in an environment where people are like-minded, and then you have to go back into the world. And it's sort of sad. But here's a celebration when it's easy to worship God. But now consider this verse. This is another holy day. It says, "It is a day of worship, a day when you don't work. Humble yourselves, starting on the evening of the 9th day of the month. From that evening to the next, observe the day of worship." Guess what day that is? That's the Day of Atonement. It's a day of worship. And yet, it's quite a different ball of wax there. It's a little bit harder to worship God on that day because your body is screaming out, "Hey, I don't like this. You know, you're depriving me of food and water." And you're not comfortable because your physical body is asking the questions, "What's wrong with you? Are you crazy?" So it's a little bit hard to worship God on that day. So here we have two illustrations, one where it's very easy to worship God and another one where it's sort of a little bit hard to worship God. But both holy days involve the act of worship. One is easy and the other is hard. What does it mean to worship God? You know, if someone came up to you and asked you a question, "Well, how do I worship God?" What would you tell them? Where would you start? Is there an outline in the Bible on how to worship God? That's a good question. Is there an outline in the Bible on how do I worship God? Is all worship pleasing to God? Does God accept all types of worship? You know, we are engaged in what I would call an apprenticeship when it comes to worshiping God. We're all in the learning process. 10 years from now, you will know more than you know today about what it means to worship God. You know, 10 years back from this day, you know, you didn't have, it's a learning process. I'd like to just share with you a couple things that I've learned about worshiping God. I was baptized back in 1988, so I've been in the church, I can't believe it, 20 years. Seems like a long time, and I reflect back on that, I can't believe it's been 20 years since the day I was baptized. But one of the things that I've learned about worshiping God is the elimination of distractions help in the worship of God. This came home to me through an experience. It was an illness that I had, and like most things that you're not sure what's going on with your body, there was about 2 or 3 weeks there when I had some tests ran, and I wasn't for sure. And of course, you know how you think. Well, I'm going to get this test back. You know, I'm going to be croaking. I'm going to be dying. It's going to be cancer. It's going to be this and that. I've got only a few days to live. You know, it's hard to have faith sometimes. And so you're thinking the worst. But during that time, what I realized that took place in my life was it was right in the middle of building the garage. And normally when I've got a project going on, that thing pretty much consumes me. I mean, I am at it. And suddenly, it just wasn't that important. I mean, what difference does it make whether you got a garage or get it built or not? I don't care, no, especially if you're not around to enjoy it. And so there were all kinds of work, problems, you know, at work, money, material possessions. It just really, there was a lot of things, a lot of what it helped me to do is to get rid of all the distractions and focus on the worship of God. Now, I wouldn't wish it to happen again. I don't want that experience to ever happen again, that uncertainty of not knowing But, you know, it worked to my benefit of bringing one closer to God. So the point I want to make here is realize that there are many distractions that really just are not that important, that keep you from worshiping God. Many distractions. You know, every new thing that you add to your life is another responsibility for you to take care of. Job opportunities. You know, I was thinking about, I ordered this program on taking photographs, because I think you can make pretty good money. You sell these, you upload them to, you know, people buy photographs. I stock photo, and I like to do that. But I got to thinking, you know, this is just another incredible responsibility of work, because you've got to download the files, you got to organize the files, you got to sell your pictures. And so I'm not sure I want to do that. I don't know if I have the time to do that. But everything, you know, opportunities, material possessions, more workers, your business, more money. How many times have we thought, if I could just win the lottery, boy, that would be great. I would have it made. No, you wouldn't. You would have more responsibilities. You'd have people knocking on your door. You'd have friends you've never met in your life. And I think that the rich young ruler, his problem was that not that he could not walk away from his money. His problem was that he could not walk away from the responsibility. You know, that's a tough one. I think about Ronnie when I think about this one. You know, I think, how could Ronnie, you know, how could you do that? Just say, boys, I'm not worried about you anymore. Go home. You know, I'm tired of this responsibility. It's hard to do. So all of that, you know, more everything, you know, in your life that you add to it is another responsibility that sometimes it causes more distractions in the worship of God. So what am I saying? I'm saying evaluate your life. Are you constantly adding more responsibilities? Now, when you're young, you know, you're learning responsibility. But as you accept it and you keep getting more and more and more, there comes a point where you've got an overload of responsibilities. So think about that. The second thing that helped me in my worship of God is understanding and accepting the law of diminishing return. Took me nearly 40 years to learn that one. over 30 years to understand and accept the law of diminishing return. And that is, the more you do something, the less appealing it gets. You know, it's like you smell a rose and it's beautiful, and it's the smell, and you smell it again, and you smell it again, and you smell it again, and you smell it again. You think, what's going on? It's not. It doesn't smell as good. It's the law of diminishing return. I spent a big part of my life trying to figure out that ultimate thing that would satisfy. I've told the story the first time we went skiing, and we had a boat on the lake, and it was such a fabulous experience. I mean, I loved it. I said to myself, I will never get sick of this, because it was beautiful. I mean, it was a mist of water. It was the diamonds sparkling off the water, you know, like the sunlight, like diamonds, and the warmth of the air. And I really thought this was heaven, that I would never, ever get sick of this boating and skiing. Well, we got another boat, and I'm sick of it. I don't even care to go back to the lake. Last time I went to the lake, I got a ticket, and so I don't want to talk about that. So, you know, I got sick of it, but I've learned that lesson. I've learned that these things, just the law of diminishing return, it just, you know, it's going to happen to everything, every physical thing you enjoy doing. A friend of mine has one of these, actually has a couple of these powered parachutes. And you talk about a wild thing. I mean, this is something you can fly. And it looks, it's a parachute hooked to like a go-kart. And you get in it, and you fly it, and he's taking me up in the air. And one day he said, look, he said, I think you could fly it. And I said, yeah, I think I could too. He said, why don't you take it up? So I took it up and nearly killed myself. I was able to override my fear when you love to do something. Anyway, I'm coming in and trying to get the hang of it, and it was funny because it has like a 2 or 3 second delayed reaction to your controls. It's the simplest thing in the world to fly. You want to go up, you get more power. You want to come down, you let out the power, and you got left and right, and that's it. A powered parachute. And while I'm coming in, and it's going left, it's going right, I'm trying to line up with the runway, I'm going down too quick, I'm going up too fast, and what was funny was the people down there watching me all started to scatter. They just scattered. And I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, boy, that's funny. And so I throw the fuel to it and go back around. And the second time and the third time, I was able to land it quite well, and it was an experience. And he said, you ought to get you one of these. And I thought, yeah, it would be nice, but, you know, it's just, I know that, how many times can you fly around the landscape? You can't really go that far. You can't take a trip on it. You can only fly 3 hours on a tank of fuel. And so how many times could you do that? And yes, it would be nice, but you'd get, I know it wouldn't, that satisfaction that we think is just not there. Learning that there is nothing in the physical realm that will satisfy. That's been a good blessing for me in the worship of God. No job opportunity, no home, no vacation is going to satisfy. And you know, even really no lover will ultimately satisfy. The worship of God transcends all of these things. Now, I think that with God, there's no such thing as the law of diminishing return when it comes to worshiping God. Because he's so big. It's just too much there. You don't never get sick of that. Which reminds me, you know, if you are having that law of diminishing return, like the feasts, well, I've been keeping the feast for 20 years now. And it's just not what it used to be. I'm sort of getting tired of it. I think that's a revealer that something's wrong in your relationship. A stagnation is setting in. And you need to check that out. Maybe something more going on. But I don't think there is such a thing as the law of diminishing return when it comes to the worship of God. Now, for a lot of us, worship comes natural. There are things in my life in the area of worship. For example, in the beauty of creation. It's natural for me to worship God in a beautiful setting. Whether you're, you know, it just comes natural. I can just do it naturally. You know, how great you are, God, in a beautiful setting. Some people, it comes natural with song and music to worship God in a beautiful spiritual song. It comes natural. Some people, it comes natural, you know, to raise their hands up. Nothing wrong with that. You know, the Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. Some people, it may come natural to dance before the Lord. You know, David danced before the Lord. So, it's not me, but that's it. King David, that is, did that. So, it may come natural. Keeping certain feast days, it just comes natural to worship God in that environment. The Sabbath day, I think, you had to learn that one, by the way. But it's a natural environment that becomes easy because you stop all the distractions. That's why it's easy to worship God on the Sabbath. For me, being alone, it's much easier to be alone and worship God than it is with a room full of people. Some people go to church to worship God. That's the environment they like. And it comes natural for them to worship God in a church environment with a lot of people, other people. They need a support group or whatever to worship God. But you know, it's one thing to worship God when it's easy. Or with what comes natural. But what about when it's hard to worship God? You know, how much praise do you deserve when you're only doing what comes natural? You know, well, I'd love to do this anyway. How much praise do you deserve? You know, you look at this list and I think, well, it's okay. It's easy for me to worship God in the beauty of creation, song, dance, keeping certain feast days, Sabbath days. All that's easy. But what about when it's hard to worship God? How do we hold up when it's hard to worship God? And I want to look at an example of a man who found it, at this point, extremely hard to worship God. It's found in Genesis 22 and verse 5. Genesis 22 and verse 5. And what's interesting is this is the first time the word worship is found in the Bible. Genesis 22 and verse 5, it says, And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Notice he says, we will go yonder to worship. What did he mean? What did Abraham mean when he said, we're going to go over yonder to worship? Did he mean he's going to do a little jig and maybe hold it, you know, maybe praise your Lord? You know? What did he mean when he said, we're going to go over yonder to worship, me and the lad? Well, let's look at it and see. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood.